In the traditional church-wide Christmas pageant, where all of the children put on bathrobes and sandals, where grandparents and parents fill the room, there's a buzz of excitement. They are holding up their phones, taking constant pictures every time a child steps onto the stage for the very first time. The child sort of smiles and waves at the family. The children's minister reads the Christmas story, narrating all of the action. It is holy chaos. And before the performance of the pageant, the children cannot wait to hear who will have which role. Who will be Mary and Joseph? Who will be the Magi and shepherds? One little boy asks, "Can I be the donkey?" And as the roles are handed out around the room, nobody says it out loud, but secretly, everyone wants to be the innkeeper. Because the innkeeper has the most memorable line of the entire performance. There is no room in the inn. Mary gives birth to Jesus, wraps him in bands of cloth, and places him in a manger because there is no room in the inn. The Gospel of Luke, though, where we find this detail, there is no actual innkeeper that speaks up. But in the Christmas pageant, there is. And the innkeeper in the Christmas pageant demonstrates the contrast within the Christmas story between those welcoming Jesus into this world and those who do not make room for him. And it reminds us that as we look around this world, where there is conflict and violence, we do not always see room for the peace of God. And God's peace is more than going along to get along. It is the meaning of that Hebrew word shalom, or wholeness. That peace is building wholeness. It is God's hope for this entire world, where we see everlasting forgiveness, just mercy and enduring peace. And the birth of Jesus invites us to dream of a world where there is room for God's peace. I was never in an official Christmas pageant, but there were those smaller gatherings in the church, like Sunday school, where we would get the long robes out of that trunk full of props in the corner of the room, and we would take our shoes off, which was always exciting in Sunday school. And then we would reenact the Christmas story. And when you step inside the Christmas story, you realize Christmas takes place inside this world. That Christmas is never an escape. That Christmas deals with reality. Like whenever a child is born, it immerses us into reality. There are constant needs. There are few breaks. There is no escape, just selfless love. and since Christmas takes place inside this world, it never turns its eyes away from reality. It knows that people are hungry, that people are hurting, that people are fighting. And whenever a child is born, we start dreaming of a better world, like the original dreamers, like the psalmists and prophets, like Joseph and John the Baptist, Mary and Elizabeth, like the Magi and shepherds, like Simeon and Anna, that they dreamed of a better world. And it's why the Gospel of Mark begins the story of Jesus with Isaiah, a dreamer. That John the Baptist is quoting Isaiah. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way." The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." That at Christmas, along with the first dreamers, we are invited to dream of a world where there is room for the Prince of Peace to prepare the way of the Lord. It's why so much of the New Testament speaks of peace. That there are 21 letters, and 18 of them either begin or end with a prayer or blessing a peace. But it is difficult to make room for it. Christmas is about nostalgia. It is preserving family traditions that are passed down from generation to generation. It is sharing past memories that have shaped who we are. It is why we make the same side dish year after year for our extended family's gathering. It's why the stockings are placed in the same order each and every year. It's why we put the same star on the tree. And nostalgia and traditions are good things. But Christmas goes beyond nostalgia. It is about a new day where we recognize the coming of the grace of God, which makes all things new. But it's difficult to make room for it. In the play, The Merchants of Venice, Shakespeare's character, Shylock, describes humanity. "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge?" That like Joseph and Mary, looking for a place for Jesus to be born, it is hard to make room for the peace of God. So we dream along with the psalmist who dreamed of God restoring the people where steadfast love and faithfulness would meet, where righteousness and peace would kiss each other. That it is quite the dream. Several years ago, I read a story about a minister by the name of Tim White, who found his faith and clarified his calling while serving a sentence in prison that when he was released, he felt called to stop the same violence that he once perpetuated, that he became a violence interrupter. And interruptions are usually negative, but not in this case. That whenever there was the possibility of violence on the street, he would step in and try to negotiate a peaceful agreement. That whenever violence did break out, he would step in and try to prevent retaliation. He said that as he was growing up, that he learned to live by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That if you wrong us, shall we not revenge? But as a minister, he wanted to paint a different kind of dream. But that dream of peace is disrupted when small things become big things. Philip Gawley remembers that in his neighborhood growing up, there was this small creek that ran through the area. And there was just a small trickle of water that ran through it normally until there was a hard rain. And then the waters would swell and the current would become strong, even washed away several trees. But before it rained, it was harmless. That we can interrupt violence by preventing small things from becoming big. But making room for peace is not only about preventing violence, it's also about building wholeness. That peace does not just prevent harm, it adds something to our lives. That in that Christmas pageant, the innkeeper missed seeing something beautiful. That after that memorable line, there is no room in the inn, the innkeeper left the stage. The innkeeper was never there when Jesus was born, when peace entered this world. Instead, the story was over before it ever started. And it reminds us that the coming of God's peace at Christmas moves well beyond that story. So perhaps one way that we make room for peace this Christmas is by leaving one gift under the tree. It could just be an empty box that we wrap up. But once all of the gifts are open and the celebration is finished, it might remind us that there is more to come. That we can continue to make room with our lives for the peace of God. That we can continue to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.